Now, at Grace Bible in Xenia, we attempt to teach the but now truth by not having church membership roles. For you see, what that teaches is that you are complete without joining something, that you are complete by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You are not made nigh by joining Grace Bible of Xenia. You are made nigh by the judicial work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, having reconciled you, having done that on Calvary's cross. So, one of the things that we believe is important is that our doctrine permeate our behavior. And so for that reason, and among others, but that reason, we do not have church membership role at Grace Bible. You could not join Grace Bible of Xenia if you wanted to. There is no membership role. We respect the people that show up as members of the body of Christ, and we treat each other as members in particular, attempting and endeavoring to engender the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and to have together that oneness in Christ. Now, there is something defined in your Bible as ages to come. Now, you and I, we're not a part of ages to come. We are in the but now, but there is something called ages to come, where the exceeding riches of Christ's grace and His kindness is shown. And so, in ages to come, God will complete the prophetic program. In ages to come, God will give to Israel every promise that is still today wanting in ages to come. Right now, we live in the nasty now and now. What about the tithes that we give to get a pew? Yes, that's it. If you're a tither, you get a brass plate on the pew. No. We don't tithe either. Neither do we have church membership roles, nor do we teach the tithe. As a matter of fact, we teach against it. Understanding grace giving is something different from the law program, which we're not under. Romans 6:14, we're not under the law, but rather under grace. So we need to differentiate in our thinking about the differences between time past, but now, and ages to come, and to have that as a backdrop. Now, I know you've heard that material 100 times before. I just mention it to you now as a reminder. And now I would like us to start looking at several commissionings that are done in your Bible. And we will get to the so-called Great Commission, but let us start with Israel's commission back in Matthew chapter 10. For you do know that back in Matthew chapter 10, Israel is commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just read His commission to them in Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 1. When He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So you see in verse 1, the giving of this power was not to everybody on the face of the planet. He gave it to His 12 disciples. I should point out to you, Judas was one of the 12. And He called them and He gave to His 12 disciples power against unclean spirits. And verse 2, now the names of the 12 apostles were these, and then you see the list of the 12 apostles in verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. These 12, verse 5, Jesus sent forth and commanded them. And so here you have the command, the commission given by Christ to His 12 apostles, and this is the Israel-only Great Commission. It's a Great Commission, but it is Israel only, as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 10. In verse 5, when Christ sent them forth, he said to them, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Very important for you to see that the Israel-only commission involves the kingdom of heaven being at hand. Your commission does not involve the kingdom of heaven being at hand. The literal, physical, messianic, Davidic kingdom on this earth was at hand in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. That was their preaching message, and since the kingdom is a kingdom of priests, that means that healing will be associated with their kingdom, because to be a priest, they must be healed, and we discussed that last Monday. Notice now in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, there is the business of heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Notice now in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, the lying, charismatic, Pentecostal, sideshow, circus clowns will pretend to heal the sick. They will pretend to raise the lepers. They will lie about raising the dead. They will lie about casting out devils. And they won't do it freely. They will take as much money as is possible for them to get in the back of their Cadillac SUV. So, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. I want to say to you today, there is no faith healer on planet Earth that is an honest person, rightly dividing the word of truth. They're just not. They are carnival barkers. They are sideshow circus clowns. They are misled, deluded. They are liars and lying. They are taking advantage of people. And it is pitiful that it is allowed to go on. You and I have some level of responsibility when we don't call them like we seize them. And you and I have some level of responsibility by allowing these people to get away with it. We do that when we keep our mouths shut. We should declare these people to be charlatans and fakers and liars, because as a matter of fact, that is what they are, and I have no fear whatsoever of having touched God's anointed. I have no fear whatsoever of any such thing. Yes, that would include Robert Kilton. He's one of the worst. And yes, I don't care who it is. Faith healing does not exist, and it is a fake, a psychosomatic, it is easily led people, it is whatever it might be, but anything but Bible reality. Now, notice in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus gives this great commission to Israel only and sends them to Israel only. And so I am going to identify this, the first of the great commissions, as the Israel-only Great Commission, and it is in Matthew chapter 10 and has nothing to do with anybody in the church, the body of Christ. I do want you to see, however, and I want you, it's important that you see, these people in Matthew chapter 10 are preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus sends them out in Matthew 10, verse 10, Matthew 10 squared, with no scrip for their journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So do you see that in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 10, when Jesus sends them out with that great commission, he sends them out without a lot of things. No scrip for the journey, no coats, no shoes, no staves, and for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, you need to compare that with when Jesus sends his men out subsequently, because Jesus sends the same 12 men out subsequently, and when he does that, he is in Luke chapter 22, and in Luke chapter 22, in verse 35, he said unto them, back in Matthew 10:10, when I sent you without purse and scrip or shoes, lacked ye anything? So Jesus, in Luke chapter 22, verse 35, is referring back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, which we just read. Then in verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. You need to see that Jesus is not giving his men the same marching orders in Luke 22 as he gave them in Matthew chapter 10. He has reversed himself. He is giving them opposite instructions in Luke chapter 22, verse 36, compared to what he gave them in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 10. Now, we all know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but you cannot say that his dealings, even with his 12 apostles, are the same, because he changes his dealings with them from Matthew 10:10 to Luke 22, verse 36. Very different instructions, changes. And so, Jesus' disciples are sent, but now the marching orders are different. And notice, when you come to Matthew chapter 16, here again you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and this time he is commissioning Peter. And notice in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 17, Jesus says to Simon Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And, verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do note the content of the information as Jesus speaks to Peter. Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, there's this church. It's my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Peter, I'm giving you the binding and loosing power. Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, folks, that is different marching orders from Matthew chapter 10. That is different marching orders from Luke chapter 22. And here, Peter is getting his positional headship over that apostolic church. And notice, Peter has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter has the binding and loosing power. Notice carefully what Peter does not have. Peter, verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So Peter does not have an evangelistic outreach, does he? Peter has mum as the word. Verse 21, and this is so important that you read Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Notice, Peter has been already in Matthew 10 as part of the 12 apostles with the gospel of the kingdom, but it isn't until Matthew 16, verse 21, that there is the first mention of the death, burial, and resurrection. Let that forever be a lesson to you and to everyone that you teach, that Peter did not understand the gospel of the grace of God in Matthew 10 when he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Peter did not understand the death, burial, and resurrection when Peter was given binding and loosing power, and Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Notice, this is the first time Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things. Verse 22, Peter took him and said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to men of goodwill. Let's color some Easter eggs and get the cantata ready, because Jesus is going to die for our sins." But that is not what Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 says. Peter, who had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Peter, who's got the keys to the kingdom, Peter, who's got binding and loosing power, in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 16, attempts to stop the death, burial, and resurrection and prevent its taking place. Notice now, that is the worst thing that could have ever have happened if Peter had gotten his way. Small wonder the Lord calls Peter Satan and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But notice now in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 22, Peter is rebuking the Lord and trying to prevent Calvary's cross. This is the fellow who's got the keys to the kingdom. He's been preaching the kingdom. He's been healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising dead people. He's got the binding and loosing power, and Peter knows nothing of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and tries to prevent it. Now, let that be a lesson to you, that the gospel of the kingdom people, your faith healers, your people who think they are Israel, are likewise very likely ignorant of the gospel of the grace of God by which a soul is saved in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. Do you know why you don't hear a clear gospel presentation from Pentecostal charismatic television preachers? Because they don't have a clear gospel presentation. Their idea of the gospel is just God, you repent and you live it and you do the best you can and you try to hang on and you try to behave and you try to do things that are befitting, and you will never hear a clear gospel presentation from a Pentecostal or a charismatic. It will always be, "I'm hanging on, I'm living the best I can, I'm enduring, I'm doing this and I'm doing that." And what they are is confused. They don't know the gospel of the grace of God, and they're out there preaching healing, they're out there preaching tongues, signs, and wonders, and they are as blind as a bat flying backwards on a dark night with their radar system broken. They have no understanding of the gospel of the grace of God because they've got Peter's doctrine. Notice that now. With Peter's doctrine, you don't know about the cross. Do you understand what I'm trying to communicate here? I hope I'm making it clear. Peter was a preacher, a kingdom gospel preacher. Peter was a healer. Peter had binding and loosing power. Peter could blab it and grab it. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he knew nothing of the death, burial, and resurrection. You are surrounded by so-called Christians, and they claim to be healers, and they claim to be binding and loosing, and they claim to have all of these gifts, and they don't even know what the gospel is. They're playing parlor games for Jesus. They're playing silliness, and they are being victimized by their own deceitful workers of iniquity. And they love it so, because they are interested in getting from God. And I say this to you, having thought about it. The fact is, Pentecostal charismaticism survives on people's selfishness. They want to get from God. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And their prayer life is a shopping list. I feel badly for the people that are hurting. I'm sorry for the people that are smarting. I'm sorry for the people that have infirmities in the flesh. But understand this. God is not a vending machine, and everything starts with the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Nothing starts with the gospel of the kingdom. Nothing starts with signs and wonders. Nothing starts with binding and loosing. Peter had the keys and the binding and loosing power and knew nothing of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, if we can't teach that, we can't teach anything. If we can't teach that there is a difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God, then we can't teach anything and ought to be disqualified from teaching. Notice in Mark chapter 9, in verse 31, he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Mark chapter 9, verse 32. Look at it, if you would, please. Because in Mark chapter 9, verse 32, they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. So here you've got the disciples. Are they raising people from the dead? The answer is yes. Are they healing people? The answer is yes. Are they preaching the gospel of the kingdom? The answer is yes. Do they understand the death, burial, and resurrection? The answer is no. Absolutely not. You understand the death, burial, and resurrection because that constitutes the gospel of the grace of God, and the gospel of the grace of God is a product of this dispensation and the revelation of the mystery. Notice now in Luke chapter 9, in verse 44, I've given you these verses before, and I give them to you again. The best teacher that you will ever study under, his name is Repetition. And notice now, in Luke chapter 9, in verse 44, "Let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." Verse 45, the disciples said, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins." Absolutely not. Verse 45 actually says, "But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying." So, I've shown you in Matthew, I've shown you in Mark, now I've shown you in Luke. Were these men raising dead people? Yes. Were these men seeing people healed? Yes. Did these people have signs and wonders? Yes. Did they preach the gospel of the kingdom? Yes. Did they know anything about the death, burial, and resurrection and the gospel of the grace of God? Absolutely not. And I'm suggesting to you rather strongly that neither do your friends at the Assembly of God. Neither do your friends at the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. Neither do your friends at the Church of God in Christ. They lack understanding of the differentiation between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you to do something. Here's what it is. Every time somebody comes along and says to you, "Why, there's not two different gospels in the Bible, there's only one," from that instant on, I want you to work on the premise that you are talking to an unsaved person. When someone comes to you and says, "No, it's all the same, the host Keiths of this world who say that Peter and Paul have the same gospel," don't debate dispensationalism with them. You would be further ahead to put a 2-year-old Eskimo in the driver's seat of a 747. When someone tells you there's only one gospel in the Bible, you need to know they're not going to get the right one. The devil will have convinced them of the wrong one, and they are unsaved. Deal with them about the gospel of the grace of God that they might be saved. Worry about dispensational issues after you get them saved, not before you're clear about the gospel of the grace of God. Now jump ahead to John chapter 20, and in verse 9, as yet they knew not of the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now notice in John chapter 20, verse 9, they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away into their own home. They were discouraged. They were perplexed. They didn't understand what had happened. And by the time you get to John chapter 20, folks, he's already up out of the ground. So, what I've tried to show you is, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, early on, there is the commissioning of Israel's apostles, and they go to Israel and Israel alone. Now, there is another commissioning in your Bible, and this is number 2 in the outline. It is Israel's kingdom commissioning. And in this commissioning, in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus Christ gives to his apostles, to his disciples, their kingdom marching orders. This has to do with the kingdom. And the way I know that is because I can read. We will start in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Do you see that in verse 18? All power. Does Jesus Christ today have all power in the earth? He's still God. I'm not attacking his deity here. I'll let Pastor Jordan do that. What I'm saying to you is the devil is the god of this world, is he not? And so notice now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, what Jesus is giving them is the all-power commission of the kingdom. Jesus is identifying kingdom marching orders for his disciples, and notice that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now I need you to slow down and think. All nations. If it's going to be all nations, then the nation doing it can't be one of the all nations, or it won't be all nations. Notice, Israel is the only nation that is not numbered among the nations, so the only nation that could teach all nations would be a nation that isn't a nation, and that would be the nation that isn't numbered among the nations. This is Israel's kingdom commission. And it is the all power given in heaven and in earth. That is a kingdom commissioning. Notice, if you would please, that the focus of the prophetic program is that all the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. That is Revelation chapter 11 in verse 15. So Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, you see the focus of the kingdom program in your Bible, and Jesus is giving his disciples, 11 of them, the kingdom commission in Matthew chapter 28. Again, I take you to Numbers now, chapter 23 in verse 9, "For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. The people shall dwell alone." Look now, Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, at the end of the verse, "and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. Israel is by definition not reckoned among the nations, which means only Israel, since they're not reckoned among the nations, could go to all nations and have it still be all nations. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, I have, number one, attempted to identify for you, this is the Kingdom Commission. Jesus identifies it with His all power given unto Him in heaven and in earth. And so, the Kingdom Commission could only be performed, and I tried to identify that for you, could only be performed by Israel to the all nations, and that is their function out there in the kingdom. Notice also, and this is important, notice also that Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 does not constitute an entire sentence. The sentence includes verse 20. Now, most every church in America grabs Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 and calls it the Great Commission for the church, the body of Christ. They're wrong. It is the Kingdom Commission for Israel. But notice, verse 20 has to go along with verse 19 because punctuation means something. And Matthew 28 verse 19 ends with a colon. It does not end with a period. And so you read on to verse 20, teaching them, teaching the nations, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus commanded them to keep the Sabbath. Jesus commanded them to honor the man that sits in Moses' seat. And so, the people who claim Matthew 28:19 as their marching orders are stuck with being Israel in verse 20, stuck with being under the law in verse 20, but people disregard verse 20 as if it were not in the Bible. Please free yourself from the muddle-headed thinking that the Bible is a book of bumper stickers, that the Bible is a book of slogans, and that any time you can find a bumper sticker or a slogan any place in the Bible, that you go by it. Definitely not. You're not under the law. You operate under grace. And you are not a part of the commissioning in Matthew chapter 28. Please look, if you would, at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 2. Jesus is speaking to the scribes, and he says in verse 2, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Verse 3, all therefore whatsoever ye bid observe and do, but do ye not after the works, for they say, and do not. And so, notice, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has nothing to say to you as a member of the church, the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with Israel under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving them their kingdom commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And has no doctrinal relevance to you as a member of the church, the body of Christ, whatsoever. Now, we've dealt with the Matthew 10 great commissioning of Israel to Israel. Then we've dealt with the kingdom commission of Matthew chapter 28. Let me now deal with what I call Israel's tribulation commission. And the Tribulation Commission of Israel is found in Mark chapter 16. And in Mark chapter 16, you see the Lord Jesus Christ, starting in verse 14, afterward, He appeared unto the 11 at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of hearts, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, verse 15, go ye. Now He is commissioning 11 men here. to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if you've got all kinds of creature activity during Daniel's 70th week, you've got all kinds of creatures coming out of the bottomless pit even, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What gospel can that be? Can that be the gospel of the grace of God when it has not yet been revealed? Absolutely not. Can that be the revelation of the mystery when the revelation of the mystery was yet and still secret? Absolutely not. So in Mark chapter 16, when the admonition is in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, the emphasis there is on water baptism, and rightly so. There was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There is the baptism whereby Israel received its Messiah. And so there was that requirement, no question about it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These are the devil caster outers. These are the tongue talkers. These are the tribulation people. And they need these signs to get through Daniel's 70th week. After all, when the water on planet Earth is turned to blood during Daniel's tribulation, these people need to be able to drink any deadly thing. These are the people who will be seeing the monsters come out of the bottomless pit. And so these are the people that need to be able to take up the serpents. These are the people that need to be able to recover and endure to the end. These are the people in the tribulation I'm identifying for you. This, Mark chapter 16, as the tribulation commission. I want you to see, firstly, that there was Israel's commission to Israel, and that back there in Matthew chapter 10. Then I wanted you to see in Matthew chapter 28 the kingdom commission, the all-power commission. Now I want you to see the tribulation commission, and that in Mark chapter 16, verses 16 to 20. Now don't let the textual critics tell you that those verses do not belong in your Bible. Do not allow the NIV or the New American Standard or the Living or the Good News to try to tell you that Mark 16, verses 14 to 20, do not belong in the Bible. The reason people don't want to have them in the Bible is because they can't handle the doctrinal content of what they say. And that is a reason, a motivator for people to undermine the efficacy of those verses. But those verses belong in the Bible. There are, you probably know, three different endings to the book of Mark. The one that is your King James Bible ending is called the long ending. It happens to be right. If you leave verses 14 through 20 in your Bible, the answer to those verses is not textual criticism. The answer to those verses is dispensationalism. We rightly divide the word of truth, and so we don't hang those verses on us. We know that these are verses dealing with the situation of Israel in Daniel's 70th week. They need to be able to speak in languages with immediacy because they have less than 7 years until the second coming. They need to be able to cast out devils because they are living in the most devilish time that ever was. They need to be able to drink any deadly thing because the water is bad. Bernie, the answer is no. And if you pay attention to the lesson, Bernie, we'd be grateful. Now, Mark chapter 16, verses 16 and 20 belong in your Bible. And they are a right teaching for Israel during Daniel's 70th week. That is exactly where they belong. Now, we've seen already three great commissionings. Let me give you a fourth one. And this is Israel's prophetic commission. Israel's prophetic commission. And in Israel's prophetic commission, we go to Luke chapter 24. Now, folks, I'm slowing down here on purpose because I don't want to lose you. Many people think the Great Commission is Matthew 28, verse 19. But actually, that is one of several. Many people think Mark 16, 16 is the Great Commission. But actually, that is one of several. Most folks disregard the first of the Great Commissionings that was back there in Matthew chapter 10. Notice now in Luke 24, hardly anybody pays any attention to this one. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus Christ expounded unto them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now jump ahead to verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. So what Jesus is doing in Luke chapter 24 is he is commissioning Israel to understand that what Israel has been promised is yet and still going to happen. Now, it is important to notice that Jesus says in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, the words that I spake unto you, these things are going to be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Jesus does not say that all of your promises now go to the church and are not meant to be taken literally. That is not what Jesus says in Luke chapter 24 in verse 44. I need for you to see that. There are a lot of denominations who say that the literal promises to Israel in the Old Testament become the spiritual promises to the church in the New Testament. And Jesus disagrees with that in Luke chapter 24 verse 44. And that's why I want you to see the prophetic commission that Jesus gives to his apostles and disciples. He is confirming to them that what is written in Moses, they still get it. What is written in the prophets, they still get it. What is written in the Psalms, they still get it. Those things concerning the Lord Jesus, Jesus is confirming to his 11. Now you need to see that. He is not taking it away from them and giving it to the church, the body of Christ. Most denominations do that, but the Lord does not. And so it is a good chance that you have not considered Luke chapter 24, verse 44, as Jesus' instructions to his men, but it most certainly is. And I need for you to see that, a prophetic commissioning confirming the promises. With Luke chapter 24, verse 44, an excellent cross-reference is Romans 15, verse 8. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made to the fathers. Now, look at Romans 15, verse 8, and say to yourself, wow, that is the right cross-reference for Luke chapter 24, verse 44. It absolutely is. And so the promises which were given to Israel are confirmed for Israel by the Lord in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, a prophetic commissioning, and you've gone to church all your life and never been taught this material. You need to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to attend, if you're able, Grace Bible in beautiful downtown Xenia, Ohio. We're operating on a different level. We're operating on a level of understanding you don't get just anywhere. And I say that with no fear of contradiction whatsoever. Now, yes, you're in Hawaii. You ought to invite me out. Amen. Meanwhile, let me show you next Israel's Pentecostal commissioning. Israel's Pentecostal commissioning. And this one, you notice, we'll start in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. To whom is Jesus speaking in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? To whom is Jesus speaking? Jesus is speaking to his water-baptized followers of him as their Messiah. And he says to his water-baptized followers, ye shall receive power. They don't have to repent and get baptized. They've already been baptized. They've already repented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says to them, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that verse has been emasculated by bad preaching. And they'll say, well, you've got the power when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you start in Jerusalem, which for you is Xenia, and then you reach out to Judea, which would be for you Beaver Creek, and then Samaria, and that's going to be Dayton, and then onto the uttermost parts of the earth, you know, and so they spiritualize the passage and try to make it all about you when it isn't. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is the commissioning of the Pentecostal people of the little flock of Israel. That's who this is. The ye in Acts 1:8 is the little flock of Israel. And they are the ones who get the Holy Ghost. Now, when some people are added to that group that was already in place, they repent and get baptized. And they get the gift of the Holy Ghost subsequent to baptism. The people in Acts 1:8, they had already been baptized. They need to get the Holy Ghost. They do in Acts chapter 2. This is Israel's Pentecostal commissioning. This has nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. We have a Pal Talk visitor who comes into our room every so often. And his name on the screen is Acts 2. 16. Acts 2:16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That includes the sun going dark, the moon going dark. And no Pentecostal believes that. No Pentecostal reads the Bible as it stands. Every Pentecostal has to play fast and loose with the Bible in order to be able to be Pentecostal. Pentecostalism is a bankrupt system. And I say that knowing full well they've got the money. Pentecostal charismaticism is spiritually, doctrinally bankrupt, populated with charlatans and crooks, giving people a false hope, hurting more people than they ever help. They don't know the gospel of the grace of God. They don't know salvation by grace through faith. They, if doctrine were dynamite, could not blow their nose with the Bible doctrine that they have correct. And I say that with no fear whatsoever of having blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to see another commissioning that nobody talks about. Another commissioning, and this one is Israel's apostolic authority commissioning. And it is in John chapter 20. Now, this is a section of Scripture that I'm going to say to you is perhaps the most avoided section of Scripture in the Bible. And when I say that, I know I've got your interest piqued. Please turn to John chapter 20. In verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Now here in John chapter 20, I've got people that have got the Holy Ghost breathed on them, and they have the binding and loosing, remitting and retaining sin authority, and that, dear friends, is prior to the second chapter of the book of Acts. Understand then, you've got people who are filled with the Holy Ghost before the filling with the Holy Ghost. And you've got people that in John chapter 20 are given the apostolic authority by Christ so that the apostolic authority is in place when Jesus ascends into heaven. He did not leave the people down here hopeless and helpless. And so John chapter 20 is a passage very often avoided, but I need for you to see, in agreement with Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, that Jesus delegated binding and loosing power to his men. That is very, very important for you to see, and here's why. Peter and James and John and the boys meet with Paul and Barnabas in Galatians chapter 2, and Peter is bound and Paul is loosed. Now, you talk about binding and loosing power. Peter had the binding and the loosing power in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Notice, Peter and James and John and the boys have got the Holy Ghost power in John in chapter 20. We've seen it in verses 21, 22, and 23. What I'm showing you then is important because these are the same people who are involved in Galatians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9, when the change in the Great Commission is made. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, these are the people with binding and loosing power. These are the people in authority who've got the Holy Ghost. These are those people, and they give to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and they send Paul and Barnabas to the heathen. Notice then, when it comes to binding and loosing, Peter is bound. Paul is loosed. Peter is bound. He no longer goes to every nation. He no longer goes to every creature. Peter is bound and Paul is loosed. Paul, he goes to every nation. He goes to every creature. Paul, he even gets to pick up unbelieving Israel. Peter is bound and Paul is loosed, and Peter had the binding and loosing power to do it, and he did it. And he did it in Acts chapter 15. And it is reported in Galatians chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. So, what have we learned this evening? Well, where do you start? We learned that the first great commission was Matthew 10. It was to Israel only, and it was for Israel only. We learned that there was then the commissioning of Israel in Matthew 28 for its kingdom. That there was the commissioning of Israel in Mark 16 for its tribulation. That there was the update and the commissioning of Israel about its prophetic program in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And we learned about Israel's Pentecostal commissioning in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. We learned about the apostolic authority that Jesus commissioned to his men in John chapter 20. And then we saw him do it and use it in Acts chapter 15, which is reported in the passage of Galatians chapter 2 in verse 9. And so, notice, we've got a situation whereby we have seen changes in the commissioning. We have seen changes in Jesus' marching orders to his men. At one time, he told them, take no scrip for your journey. At another time, he tells them, get lots of scrip. And notice the differences. Now, you and I, we have marching orders which are not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We have marching orders which are not in the book of Acts. Our marching orders are a great commission, not the great commission. Our marching orders are a greater commission. And that, if you would please, we will conclude, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That is to say, you are not Israel, you are not under the law, old things are passed away. What are the old things which are passed away? The little flock of Israel is passed away. Keeping the law is passed away. Water baptism is passed away. Tongue signs and wonders passed away. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It is not born again. No, it's not anything again. It is a new creature. And notice now this new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The all things that are become new are the church, the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ is a new thing that had not been in ages past. Verse 18, all things are of God. Now that's how you know I have got this exposition correctly. Because it is all God's doing according to the dispensation of the grace of God. And yeah, people like to say that the verse is all about them. I'm in Jesus. I'm a new creature, so I don't smoke anymore. Yeah, right. And yes, were the Ten Commandments nailed to the cross? All of the law and all of the ordinances which were against us are nailed to Calvary's cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. We are not under the law. Romans chapter 6. Verse 14, we stand fast in our liberty. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For us the law is weak and beggarly. That Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. So, I want you to understand the difference and to see these differences. As you teach these the business of the Great Commission, how exciting that is it not? To be able to understand there are several commissions, several commissionings, and they each have doctrinal impact, doctrinal import. You and I, we operate under a greater set of marching orders. We know the mystery. We know the word of reconciliation. We know that Christ died for everyone's sins, not just Israel. We know that God is no longer imputing their trespasses unto them. Notice, perhaps you've already noticed, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5, there is the passage that speaks to not imputing their trespasses unto them. All over America, people on Sunday morning pray, "Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me." You know what? That level of ignorance is unconscionable. And any person that is teaching their people to pray the Lord's Prayer or entire ministry and take the Dispensational Bible Institute before they ever get back into a pulpit again. You are not operating by the Israel Commission of Matthew 10. You are not operating by the Kingdom Commission of Matthew 28. You are not operating by the Tribulation Commission of Mark chapter 16. You are not operating under the Apostolic Commissioning in John chapter 20. You are not a part of the prophetic program described in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. You are a new creature with a new set of marching orders, with a new message, and that, the gospel of the grace of God. How exciting that is to know, and I'm glad that you know it.